Well, here we are at the dawn of 2019. And I believe this is going to be an extremely important year for us as a church. Last year, the word God gave me was to strengthen the existing foundation. So that was our focus all year. We began the year with a look at the armor of God so that we might be equipped to withstand the works of the wicked one. We then moved into deeper waters where we were offering an encouragement for all of us to step out into more of what God has. It was a rebuke of surface Christianity and a look at a deeper faith and walk with God. Your spiritual MOT that we did last year was designed to look at areas where we have weakness or areas where we need to check everything is in working order. The freedom gathering was all about gaining freedom from areas in our lives that have been holding us back to let them go once and for all. Even the pew talk nights, they are there so that we can encourage each other, but also to develop the gift of teaching within the people who are part of New Life Church. Life groups, they're not just social groups. They are times to let iron sharpen iron. Last year, we also did the Bible in a year together. Well done to those, by the way, who completed it. For those who didn't, it's a new year. It's a new chance to start again. And for those who did do it, don't stop. Keep on going, keep on reading. The more you know it, the more it's in you, the more you can live it. I tell you, I found it a great challenge last year to write something every day to go alongside the readings. I'm not going to do that again this year, but I have to say, God really blessed me by doing that, and I really enjoyed doing it. There were those who, for that last year, that was the first time, and some of you have read the whole Bible. For others, it was one more of many. Establishing our new morning meetings at Stockton was a part of strengthening us as a church. Starting a new morning meeting at Stockton has increased our reach. There's people who go to Stockton's morning meeting who would not be able to come here and would not be able to come other times. And there was a danger when we stepped out and did that, that it would affect numbers here. Bless God, that didn't happen. But what it did is it was increased our reach. In fact, across all of our morning meetings last year, we saw a growth of around about 23%. Isn't that great? God is doing great things that we wouldn't have been able to do that if we hadn't have stepped out and increased our reach. Last year, that was the main focus. Strengthen the church and strengthen the people. And as we did so, the enemy took his opportunities to knock us, didn't he? And he always will do. He'll throw illness, discouragement, events out of our control. And I know last year was a tough year for many. But you know what? That's a good sign. Because the enemy's cage is getting rattled. And the more we strengthen, the more we get closer to God, the more we can withstand. And the more we advance, the more he's going to throw at us. That's why we need a strong foundation. We can't let little foxes ruin the vineyard. But you don't strengthen a foundation for no reason. You strengthen a foundation so you can build on it. And 2019 is a year of building. 2019 is, for our country, going to be a year unlike any in living memory. We are about to embark on such a time of political and financial uncertainty that, in all honesty, even the experts don't have a clue what's going to happen. There's plenty of people guessing, but that's all we've got. It may be chaos. It may be fine. Nobody knows. And I don't want to speak into that other than to say this. Such uncertainty and fear in the nation is a remarkable opportunity for the gospel. It is a remarkable opportunity because I tell you, in uncertain times, a sure and certain hope sounds like very good news, doesn't it? And we need to make sure we don't miss the opportunity that this year presents us. Let me tell you, it's harvest time. And that brings me to the three words God has given me for this year. I only asked for one, but that's the way it goes. Three words that God has given us for this year. Three words that I believe are His will and our vision for this year. Three words, three sections of Scripture, and three challenges to focus on. And those three words are harvest, homecoming, and watchman. And I know, I wish it was three beginning with H as well, but it's not. Jesus said this in John 4, verse 35 and 36. Do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for the harvest. Don't say 4 months, it's now. See, too often we spend our time waiting instead of doing. We are filled with expectation and not filled with perspiration. We wait for God to do. You can clear that, that's okay. We wait for God to do what He's asked us to do. Let me tell you, God's not going to do what He's asked you to do. I have a revelation for you this morning. Great times are not ahead. They're here. The harvest is not ahead. The harvest is around you now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, behold, now is the favorable time. And behold, now is the day of salvation. That's as true today as it was then. Now is the time. Now is the day. See, there's something you hear in church time and time and time and time again. And I don't mean to disparage anybody when I say this. God's got something amazing coming. God's about to do something amazing. Revival is coming. Something is about to start. No, it's here. Don't say 4 months. Get into the field today because the harvest is ready today. God's about to do something amazing. God did something amazing 2,000 years ago, and when He did it, He passed the work on. Time and again, I have heard prophetic words given along the lines of this. There's a fire, and it's going to spread from the north and cover the nation. Interestingly, you can hear this prophetic word from the south as well, and that says it's going to start in the south and spread across the nation. Or there'd be fires lighting up and joining up across the nation. And I'm not saying these are wrong. Don't misunderstand me. We need to hear what God is saying when He's given people those visions. They're correct. It's God showing us what He is able to do. And God has shown us time and again what can happen. But these prophecies go unfulfilled because they don't just happen out of nothing. They happen when the church steps up. See, there's a reason those prophecies have not happened, and it's not because of a lack on God's part, but it's because His people haven't stepped up. God is showing us what is achievable if we step into it. See, often we can quote all the promises of God are yes and amen. But you know that's not the verse. That's not the quote. It's a misquote. It's actually 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God find their yes in Him. That is why through Him we utter our amen to God through His glory. A literal reading of the Greek makes it sound a bit more like this. In Him is the yes, therefore in Him is the amen. In other words, He fulfilled all the promises of God when Jesus came. Jesus is the fulfillment of every promise that God has ever made. Therefore, we can say amen and utter our prayers in the name of Jesus, because we're praying to the one who is the fulfillment. When we say all God's promises are yes and amen, we're quoting a Chris Tomlin song, not scripture. Don't quote songs and pretend they're scripture. Don't do that. And I get it. It sounds nice. But actually, more in line with the thread of Scripture is this. All the promises of God come with an if. It's always conditional of God's people rising up and meeting the challenge that God has laid before them. If is a very small word, but it's one of the biggest words in the Bible. All these prophecies of the flame spreading, they're all from God. They've all had the potential to work out, but the workers didn't go into the harvest field. I tell you, in this nation, many harvests have been lost. Many fires have gone out. And it has never, ever been due to a lack on God's end. God is showing us what's possible. But people need to take up the call to get into the harvest field. There have been so few people out in the field that the world has forgotten what the church is even for. On the 17th of November last year, John Allen Chow was killed by arrows as he went ashore on North Sentinel Island. Made the news. He went to bring Christ to people who'd never heard. And the world was utterly horrified that he'd even want to try. They didn't get it. They didn't understand why this man went there. Because for too long they've been told by a church that doesn't understand the gospel that good people go to heaven. And if it's about just being good, why do people need to hear God wouldn't send a good person to hell? Because they're good people. And it's a false gospel. Romans 10 verse 9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's all about Jesus. It's all about where we stand with Jesus. And how can they call on him that they've never heard of? How can they hear if someone's not going to tell them? This guy went to North Sentinel Island to tell people who didn't know the truth. But listen to how the world saw it. This is some passages from a news report from the Daily Mail. This also made a few other papers as well. This is the headline. Missionary killed on remote island may have been trying to bring about the apocalypse. That's the headline. He belongs to a Kansas City-based group called All Nations Family. The group subscribes to the belief that spreading the word of God to all nations will cause the second coming of Jesus and works speedily to meet that goal. See, we read that and think, brill. The world reads that and think, he's trying to end the world. In a blog post honoring Chow's life and service, All Nations leader Dr. Ho said, John was a gracious and sensitive ambassador of Jesus Christ who wanted others to know of God's great love for them. Then in the final sentences, and this is the way the article puts it, not me, Horst seemed to imply that the word of God reaching the unreached, then it's got in brackets, a term commonly used in the evangelical circles to refer to those who aren't familiar with Christianity, will result in eternal spiritual reward when the right time comes, possibly referring to Jesus returning to the earth. A commentator told the Washington Post this. He repeatedly trespassed on this island and they lost their patience with him. There is faith and there is mental illness. He didn't understand the line between faith and doing something absolutely nutty. Wanting to share the gospel and see Jesus return is absolutely nutty. Wow. It begs the question to me, what on earth do these people think the church is for? To have tea parties? What do they think we're for if we're not here to preach the gospel to the world? You need to understand how little the world gets us. They don't understand why on earth we would want Jesus to come back. They don't understand why we think remote people need to hear about Jesus. They think it's nutty. They think it's dangerous. They think wanting to complete the Great Commission is a mental illness. Because they think we're trying to get people into a little club rather than introduce them to their one and only chance, their one and only Savior. The world's very happy for church to sit in the corner of society with our own little flock. Oh, that phrase. Yeah, flock. Parishioners. Whenever they mention us in the newspapers. Parishioners. In other words, that weird lot over there. They're quite happy for us to sit in the corner. Not bothering anyone. Having tea parties. Having bake sales. That they can cope with. But that is not why the church exists. And the world needs to remember why we are here. Which starts with us remembering why we are here. Tell you, the church needs to repent. And I don't mean in the sense of sin. I mean in it needs a change of mind. That's what repent means. It needs a change of direction. We are not a club. We are not a little flock. We are not a happy group of parishioners. We are God's plan to reach a lost and dying world. This year is a year for harvest. This is a year for planting seeds. It's a year for getting out there and scattering those seeds wherever we can find. That's what the parable, he's just scattering that stuff everywhere. And Jesus is saying, as Jesus is saying, don't say 4 months and then the harvest's here. As he's saying it, the Samaritan woman is telling people and they're believing. As Jesus is saying the harvest is ready, somebody's out there gathering the harvest. As he's saying it, it's coming true. There was a worker out in the field. You know, another time Jesus talks about the harvest, he says this. Sorry, could you get me a drink of water? Is that okay? Luke 10, verse 2. And he said to them, next one. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Sometimes I think we read this verse wrong. Sometimes I think we read this verse and go, well, Jesus said there was never going to be enough people out in the harvest field. It's just some that will go, and that's just the way it is. That can lead to two mindsets. One is resignation, that the situation isn't going to change. Some will go, most won't. That's just the way it is. The other mindset is, not everybody's going to go. Therefore, it's kind of okay if I don't go. Because most people don't. Jesus isn't saying that. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray for laborers. Pray that laborers will come. Pray that the situation won't stay like that, but that it will change. That the laborers won't be few. That the laborers will be many. That's what Jesus is telling us to do. Don't just accept that's the way it is. Pray that changes. The ideal model is not just a few people going out. It's everybody going out. Mark 4:29, but when the grain is ripe, at once he puts the sickle in because the harvest has come. When is the grain ripe? Today. It is ripe now. The harvest is white, not in a few months' time. The harvest is ripe now. If we are not about the harvest, we have completely missed the heart of God. That's something we need to realize in 2019. The harvest isn't coming. The harvest is waiting for someone to bring it in. I can confidently declare, this is the year of harvest. If the workers go out into the field. This is the year that the fire will spread from the north. If the church starts to burn for God. Amen. That's the first word, harvest. Next word is homecoming. This is an important word for us as a church this year. First of all, this is the year we're going home. Oh, across the road, not. You get what I meant there. This is the year that the external work and the building of the extension is going to take place. How long is it going to take? Not a clue. But this year. This is going to take a lot from us. I tell you, it is the biggest financial step of faith we have ever taken as a church. And we need to bear that together. But God's with us. God's in it. And we're going home. But that's not what the word homecoming's about. Don't think about that. That's not what it's about. I believe that 2019 is a year to call the prodigals home. Yes. We need a change of mindset when it comes to those who've wandered away from God. For those who've wandered from God, we can start to get these comforting ideas in our head. It'll be okay. It'll work out. That's wishful thinking. It's comforting to think that once they've responded, they put their hand up in a meeting, they'll be fine. Unfortunately, I don't see that in Scripture. And this verse is a challenge to us this year. James 5, verse 19 and 20. My brothers, if anyone amongst you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. If someone wanders from the truth, who's James talking about? He's talking about people who were once in the truth. You can't wander if you weren't in it. If anyone among you, he's talking about people who followed Jesus and walked away. If someone does that, what danger are they in? Well, according to James, the danger is extremely severe. Their soul is in danger of death. But there's hope. They can be brought back. If someone turns away from Jesus and turns to sin, bringing them back, what a noble pursuit that is. What a noble, wonderful thing it is to do, to bring somebody back and save their soul from death. I tell you, this is a year for homecoming. And the call to us is, let's bring them home. Bring them home. Not to sit and wait and hope, but to go to them. Bring them back from their wanderings. I'm sure all of us know somebody who ran well with God and then wandered. We probably know more than one. We can be the difference in that person's life. We can be the one who saves them from their wandering and saves their soul from death. Because when people turn their back on God, and I know we don't like to hear this, I get it, but they are in grave eternal danger. But hang on. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, neither height nor depth nor... That is not a passage about eternal assurance. That is a passage about dealing with persecution and suffering. Read it in context. What can the world actually do to us? They can kill us. They can't take away Jesus. Out of context, you can misunderstand that. No one can snatch you away. No. They can beat you, persecute you, and they can't take away Jesus from you. But you can turn away and get entangled again in the things of the world. Listen to Peter. 2 Peter 2:20 and 21. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than to, after knowing it, turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. See, those who allow the entanglements of the world to draw them back, who turn away from the truth, the second state is worse than the first. Peter's saying those who backslide or turn away from Jesus. Dear me, can you imagine saying this? It would have been better if they didn't know. we know people who've backslid, let me tell you, it is no small thing. And we might be the only chance they have. Just take a moment to think about that. We need to lose the passive, it'll be all right, attitude to those who've wandered. Their situation is severe. Worse, Peter says, than those who've never heard. Because many of them think they're okay because they once put their hand up in a meeting. Now, be very careful with this. This shouldn't lead us to insecurity and doubt in our salvation. We can't go through life worrying about the slightest little mistake counting us out. When we abide in him, he abides in us. What does that mean? It means continue with, to stay with. Those who stay with him, he stays with. Are you abiding in him? Then there's no problem. The prodigal was welcomed home with open arms. But I tell you, if he didn't go home, he'd have died out there. It is a noble pursuit to go after prodigals. And this year, I believe that's a challenge to all of us. We all know them, don't we? And they're in a bad state. They're in no less danger than those who've never heard. Let me just add one caveat to that. Please understand where I'm coming from in this one, okay? There are those who wander, and there's those who rebel. There are those who are wanderers, and there are those who are wolves and deceivers. There are people like Diotrephes that John warned of, who put themselves first and refuse any godly authority. There are those who never take heed of what godly authority advises, then blames God when things go wrong. There are people like those mentioned by Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 who've committed incest. Paul had to say, done. Leave them to God. Don't keep pandering. There's prodigals and there's rebels. We go after the prodigals. We leave the rebels for God to sort out. 2 John 1, verses 9 to 11. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. We need to discern the difference between prodigals and wolves. For those wolves who are like Diotrephes, those people who are all about themselves and building themselves up, you know, people like that, they feed on attention. They lap it up. So how do you deal with it? You've got to cut off the food supply. Don't give them the attention that they crave. So we have a tricky social phenomenon in the world today. Once you've connected with somebody on Facebook, they are never out of your life, even when they're bad for you. We must not be afraid to remove wolves and rebels from our social media. Because clicking like on a heresy is taking part. And it's feeding their attention. Some of them will put things on just so somebody's going to say, oh, bless you, what's wrong? I'm loving them back into the kingdom. That works for prodigals. It does not work with wolves. Discernment, and the difficult bit, is telling the difference between the two. Someone rages against God, sound teaching, and even the church. Click unsubscribe. And I know that's not an easy decision. I tell you, that is something I battle with. Me and Steve had conversations where I've been, oh, we can't do that. But I'm beginning to realize the importance of that. And it goes against my nature entirely. But don't let good manners result in you taking part in their wicked works through encouraging them. But the prodigals, they need to know not only will they be welcomed home with open arms, they need to understand how desperately they need to come home. This is a year to send out the call. It's time for a homecoming. This isn't at the expense of reaching the lost, but part of a multi-stranded strategy. It's time for harvest, and it's time for homecoming. Which brings me to the next word. We need to realize we are watchmen over our generation. 2019 is the year of watchmen taking their posts. Ezekiel 33, verses 7 to 9 says this, "So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul." Now, I know that's Old Testament. I know that there's a certain difference. But God made Ezekiel a watchman over the house of Israel. What does that mean? A watchman is someone who is responsible. A watchman is someone who has a vital, vital role. They are given the place to sit and watch. They can see the danger coming before anybody else does. And if they see danger, they cry out, they sound the trumpet, and they let people know so they can be prepared. They sound the warning. If they fail and a city is overrun because they've not performed their duty, the fall of the city is the fault of the watchman. If they sound the alarm, if they warn of danger and people do not listen, it is not the watchman's fault, because the watchman did his duty. Ezekiel was set as a watchman. He could see the danger coming. He was telling them what was going to happen. He could see the exile. And it was his job to make a noise. His job was to tell the people, repent or disaster's coming. When God spoke, he warned them. That was his responsibility. How they responded to his message wasn't. A watchman was someone who could see ahead. They'd been put in a place where they could see the bigger picture and they could see the coming danger. Let me tell you, the moment we're saved, our eyes are opened. The blindfold comes off and we see the world as it really is. We know what we're saved from, don't we? We can see the danger. And because we can see, we have a responsibility. God has set us as watchmen, and he's asking us to warn people of the danger that is to come. As society turns further and further away from God, someone's got to warn them. That assignment's been given to us. The people in your circles, the people who are your family, your friends, your neighbors, your work connections, if you don't warn them, who will? As sin becomes more and more accepted in the world today and righteousness becomes more and more condemned, someone needs to sound the alarm. When people we know and love live in rebellion to God, we need to sound the alarm. People are heading to a lost eternity and they don't know the danger's coming. They don't know. People are living lives that lead to destruction and pain and they call it freedom. They don't know. They need someone to sound the alarm. Will they listen? That's not your responsibility. It's theirs. Yours is to sound the alarm. You are not responsible for how the message is received. You're responsible to make sure it's delivered. God is looking for people who are willing to take a stand. in the movie The Bodyguard, you weren't expecting that, were you? Kevin Costner plays an ex-Secret Service agent, and he has a great line in that film. He's introduced to somebody. This guy used to protect President Reagan. And someone says, "Reagan got shot." And his reply, "Not on my shift." This is our shift. We're not responsible for what happens after us. We're not responsible for what happened before us. We're responsible for the people around us now. This is our watch. This is our time to rise up. Some people ask, is this the last generation before Jesus comes back? I don't know, but it's my last. I'm not around after this one. This is the only chance I will get to make a difference. This is the only generation we will be responsible for. If the watchman doesn't shout, it's on him. God needs people who will stand up and say, this does not happen on my shift. These people will not go unwarned. In 2019, watchmen, take your posts. Now, it's a lot to ask, I realize, the fate of the entire nation. So let's focus a bit. Mother Teresa once said, if I look at the mass, I can't help. But I can help the one. You might be relieved to hear this. You are not responsible for the entire world. That's a bit big, isn't it? But let me ask you, who are you responsible for? Who is in the city that you are the watchman of? Who's in your circle? Let's take individual accountability for the people around us. I was going to check this with someone before I did it, but never mind. Sorry, Paul. Paul, I'm not responsible for your sister. You are. Yeah? I don't know her. I don't know them. I'm not responsible. Paul is. We're responsible for the people that are around us. Now, that's not to say we have no investment in that. Of course we do. We support each other. We work together, but we take responsibility for our circle. Because this is our shift. What does that mean for us in 2019? First of all, the fields are white. They're white. Tell you what, this is going to be a fascinating year in this nation. And we've got something secure and steadfast. This is not a year to wait and expect the harvest. This is a year to go get the harvest. This is not a year for expectation, but for perspiration. This is a time to use any means of we can think of to bring in the harvest. Not just to throw everything all into one method. Not using gimmicks. This is a year just to get into the field. Somebody's doing it that way, that's fine. Somebody else is doing another, that's fine, as long as they're taking in the harvest. It's good to pray for workers in the field. Absolutely, Jesus told us to. But praying for workers without a willingness to be a worker kind of misses the point. This is a year to go fishing for men. You might not have had any success in fishing before. I'm terrible at fishing. You might not know what to do. But that's the good thing about fishing. It's not about how you do it. It's about catching fish. There's loads of ways to fish. There's using a line with a rod attached. There's grabbing those one fish at a time. There's nets that can grab fish in their hundreds. There's deep sea, there's shallow sea. There's loads of different ways of catching fish. And it doesn't matter which one you use. The point is, you catch fish. No one's going to criticize you on how you caught it as long as you caught it. And different people will find different methods will work differently for them. That's fine. It may be you're the sort of person who likes to go fishing in the streets. It may be that you're a door-by-door fisherman. It may be that you're fishing at home. You're fishing in your social circles. You're fishing around the water cooler. This isn't a time to look at somebody else's method of fishing and compare it to yours. This is not a time to examine somebody else's choice of bait. This isn't a way to be looking to do it all the same way. If it's different, good, because different things reach different people. I'm sorry, Sean and Rachel, but Sean and Rachel are here this morning because Pastor Cliff sold his house. Because God opened up an opportunity. It's opportunities that we need to be looking for, praying for, and acting on when they come. It's time to go fishing. This year, let's explore together. Let's share different ways to bring in the catch. Let's focus on everybody finding a tool that works for them. It may mean learning as you go. But you know, that's kind of the best way to learn. It may mean trying things out that don't work. That's okay. This is also a year of homecoming for prodigals. We all know some who have wandered and some who were in the truth, but now don't. They need help. They need someone to help save their soul from death. Who is it who is your responsibility? Who do you know that needs to hear? Who do you know that needs to come home? Or to put it really, really bluntly, because you can take it. Who in your circles of connection will end up separated from God and spending an eternity in hell if something doesn't change? Let's be blunt. Who is your responsibility? The watchman warns. If the people don't listen, not down to you, but warning them is. Write them down. Write those names down. Be strategic. Write them down somewhere. Pray for them. Who are those people you're going to target specifically this year? Pray for them strategically. Pray for doorways to open up. Determine, how am I going to reach this person? What's the best way to reach this person? How can I be ready for every opportunity? Pray for opportunity. The challenge is for all of us. Let's get strategic. Let's find tools that work for us. Let every one of us take up a sickle. And some of us to take up a combine harvester. The whole field's not down to you, but your area is. Here's the key to grow in the kingdom of God. It's dead simple. You ready for this? This is the key. Everybody goes fishing. Everybody gets into the field. And the kingdom grows. This isn't about reaching people with gimmicks or events. This is each of us reaching those we are responsible for. Taking ownership of our part of the harvest field. Seeing people saved, it shouldn't just be happening in here. It should be happening out there, and then they're coming in here, saved. That's the way it should be. This can be the year of the harvest. I honestly, well and truly believe that. This can be the year where a fire starts in the north and spreads across the nation. This can be a year of revival. This can be the year of the fulfillment of all those prophecies we've heard. This can be the year of the prodigals coming home. Do you believe that? Because I do. This can be the year if there's workers in the harvest field. If the watchmen are prepared to shout. If we take responsibility for our field. What's the vision for the year? Reach the lost. Bring home the prodigals and warn people of what's coming. The thing is, It's not just the vision for the year. It's been the vision of the church since the Great Commission. It's the year of harvest. The year of homecoming. If the watchmen take their stand. Are you ready to do that this year?